On behalf of Pastor Joe and all of us here at Portland Mount Hope Church, our hope is that this message will encourage and inspire you to walk with Jesus in confidence and in boldness. Check out more of the messages and events happening here at Portland Mount Hope by going to our website at portlandmounthope.org and come join us Sundays at 10 a.m. And now, here is Pastor Joe.
Father, what a privilege it is to be called your child, to gather as the children of God, to form a local expression of the body of Christ, the church. And Lord, as we open your word, we ask that you would just give us revelation and speak to our hearts. Help us to grow in our faith and to draw closer to you. We ask it all for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'd open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we are continuing our series through 1 Corinthians. Next week will be the last week, and we'll close out this book. And then 2 weeks from today, I'm going to share a fresh vision with you, and I'll tell you much more about that in 2 weeks, but you definitely want to be here in 2 weeks to hear everything. What we're going to talk about today is what I titled Staying the Course. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, and 14, what we see is the Apostle Paul talking about spiritual gifts, about walking in love in the use of our spiritual gifts, but also that our spiritual gifts need to be exercised in an orderly manner, okay? Now, those are good things. How many of you know that? But Paul does an abrupt and dramatic switch from chapter 14 to chapter 15. And it really comes with some warnings. Chapter 15, Paul really gets into the theology of the resurrection. And I'm really not going to talk much about the resurrection itself today. What I'm going to talk about is what we can learn by this whole experience. You see, what was happening, there were some people in Corinth that started giving some false teaching. And as a result of this false teaching, some of the Corinthian believers were starting to stray from their faith. And Paul gives some very, very solid warnings. And we're gonna take a look at four things that we can do to stay the course, because it's so important. And we can learn a lot from this chapter. So let's take a look at the first two verses. And the first point of staying the course is this. We need to hold on to truth. All right? Now, that may seem like a no-brainer, but we can so easily let go of truth. And that's what happened to the Corinthians. So let's take a look and read. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 and 2. The Apostle Paul says, I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. There's a whole lot in those two verses. And really what Paul is doing, he's reminding the Corinthians of the gospel he preached to them and the impact of that gospel he preached to them. And it's the same gospel that I do my best to preach every week. Paul said there's three things concerning the gospel he preached to them. Number one, that the Corinthians, they received it. In other words, what Paul was preaching, they opened their hearts to. Secondly, they stood on it. In other words, not only did they open their hearts to it, but they believed it and they applied it into their life. And thirdly, Paul said, as a result, you were saved by it. The message that Paul preached was a life-saving message. And when we open our heart to it, and when we stand on it and believe it and walk it out in our life, we are born again, there's salvation comes to us. But I find something very interesting that Paul conveys a shocking truth. And I don't use that word shocking lightly, a shocking truth about holding fast to God's word. Let's look at verse 2. Paul says, by which you were saved, what? If. Everybody say that word, if. If. Everybody shout the word, if. 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 By which you were saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. In other words, what Paul is telling them, that if they do not hold fast God's truth, their believing is in vain. They are saved if they believe God's word and walk it out in their lives. Yes, I believe Paul is implying that they could lose their salvation if they abandon the truth of God's word. How many of you know that is a very, very serious warning? And some of the Corinthians were moving in that direction, that they began to listen to false teaching. And the false teaching was that there was no resurrection. Yeah, Jesus was raised from the dead, but you and I, there's no resurrection, therefore there's no hope for us. Some of the Corinthians began to buy into that, and in order to buy into that, they had to abandon what they believed about the truth of the gospel. You can't follow false teaching and hold on to the truth at the same time. You have to let go of one to grab the other. And Paul said, hold fast the word which I preached to you. Paul told Timothy in chapter 4, verse 1, he says, the Spirit explicitly says that in later times, some will fall away from the faith. Why? Paying attention to deceitful spirits and to doctrines of demons. That's exactly what was happening to the Corinthians, was that people who were very articulate, who had this wonderful argument, were leading them off course and causing them to abandon the truth of God's word. Now, we don't need to live in fear of this. And I think it's healthy to have a certain amount of fear. How many of you know that you have to, driving down the road, you have to have a certain amount of respect for the car? You're going 70 miles an hour down a highway. You have to conduct yourself in a certain manner, because if you go off the road, it becomes very dangerous. Now, as long as we have that respect for God's word, you know, we're not going to be perfect. We're going to make our mistakes and we're going to stumble. But the important thing is that we stay on the road, that we stay on course, and that we don't abandon it for something that is not true at all. That's what was happening to some of the Corinthians. Today, I have a real concern for Christians who do not read or study their Bible. And there are many. Because these Christians can be easily deceived. Because they don't open their Bible, they don't read what the truth is, they will not know what the truth is not. So when some slick-talking, smooth-tongued individual comes and starts speaking something to them, and it sounds good, they have no point of reference as to whether it's true or not according to God's word. And people can be led astray. Paul said, told Timothy it's going to happen in the later days that people will fall away from the faith because of listening to false teaching. It was happening to the Corinthians. And the Corinthians, and we're going to see later in a later point, the Corinthians were falling away for one reason, because they were ignorant of the truth of the gospel. Because many of them were not willing to learn, to apply themselves, to read it, to study it on their own. And today there is a danger. People who've accepted Christ, if we don't learn and grow and mature and develop in the faith, and we don't understand what truth is and what truth is not, we stand a far, far greater risk of buying into what is false and that leading us off course. Point number one Paul is making, hold on to truth, and you have to read it and study it to know what it is you're hanging on to. Point number two is to leave your past. Let's look at verse 9 and 10. Paul says, "For I am the least of the apostles, who am not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me did not prove vain, but I labored even more than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God with me." How many of you know that Paul's past, in a sense, could have and maybe should have disqualified him from his present occupation? You see, he became an apostle. But his past was, before his conversion, he hated Christians and he persecuted the church. How many of you know that's not a good thing? That would not look good on a resume. You know, if you're filling out your resume to become an apostle, let me see, I'll look through here, okay. You hate Christians and you persecuted the church. Now you want to preach to Christians and lead the church. Huh. You know what is interesting? Some of us can say today, you know what? I can't do this, I can't do that because of what I did years ago. But what we need to understand is God's grace cleared Paul of a sinful past, and it set him up for an amazing, amazing future. I love what Paul said in verse 10. He said, "By the grace of God, I am what I am. I am an apostle, the least of the apostles." That, he was being very humble because he was one of the greatest of the apostles. "But in his eyes, because I persecuted the church and I hated Christians before my conversion, I am the least of apostles. But I am what I am. And it's by God's grace." What we have to understand is that God does the same for us. Regardless of our past, grace can give us an amazing future. You're looking at a guy who, 17 years old, was borderline alcoholic, who I went through my drug episode. There are times that I should have died from overdoses, and I prayed that God would spare my life. And I could go on and on. By God's grace, I am what I am. And by God's grace, you are what you are. Don't ever let your past, what you've been through before your conversion, hold you back from accomplishing great things for God. He has gifted us, he's equipped us to do great and mighty things. Most of all, he's freed us from our past. But understand this, that we have a role to play in who we become in the future for Christ. God's grace is wonderful. It is, you know, Paul says, I leave the past behind, I press on to the upward call of Christ Jesus. All right? So in other words, leave your past in the past. Don't dwell on it. Don't play the you know, woe is me card. Don't have pity parties, all that kind of stuff. But don't think that God's grace has freed us and he has positioned us to accomplish great things. But we don't stand back and just twiddle our thumbs and let it all happen before us. We have a role to play in this. Paul goes on to say, verse 10 says, I am what I am, but his grace toward me did not prove vain. But I what? Labored even more than all of them, speaking of the other apostles. Yet not I, but the grace of God with me. God has freed us from our past, but the question is, are we going to labor for Christ? What are we going to do with our lives to benefit the kingdom of God? See, you know, God has gifted us, he's equipped us. Question is, what are we doing with it? The Apostle Paul, he says, I labored more than all the other apostles. The commitment and the sacrifice that he demonstrated was absolutely amazing. So what Paul did, he combined God's grace with committed service. All right? And that is, the result is what he became. Now understand this, that if we invest in our future when we combine God's grace of a forgiven past. We don't live in the past. You know, now understand we have to get healed up from the past. And sometimes it means facing what you went through, which may not be pleasant. But by facing it and dealing with it and grieving over it or whatever it needs to take to get past it, you get on the other side and it no longer has a hold on you. Now, that may be a requirement. That is a part of letting go of your past. But we invest in our future when we combine God's grace of a forgiven past with a commitment to labor for the Lord according to our God-given gifts and talents. You wonder why two people who can have a very similar background both can get saved and one go on to accomplish great things and have an incredible life, why the other one spends the rest of their life just struggling and all sorts of things. They both received the grace of God, but it's what they did with that grace and the commitment that they made to Christ. So, leave your past in the past. You with me? The third thing Paul is talking to us about regarding staying the course is that we need to keep godly company. Let's look at verses 33 and 34. Paul says, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Become sober-minded as you ought and stop sinning. For some have no knowledge of God, and I speak this to your shame. Wow, that's kind of a rebuke, isn't it? How dare Paul say something that isn't all happy and smiley? How dare Paul speak a strong word to the church? And what he's telling us is that bad company corrupts good morals and it corrupts godly thinking. And it is very, very dangerous if we buy into bad company. Some of the Corinthians began to listen to false teachers. There is no resurrection. What are you talking about? And they started listening to him and started straying farther and farther away from the faith. And the farther we stray from the faith, the more we're going to stumble into sin and its consequences. And that's what happened to the Corinthians, is that the farther they got away from the truth of the gospel, the more they started going back into their old ways. Years and years ago, there is a teaching that went around that you know who you are in Christ. Therefore, you know, you can go ahead and drink. And we're talking about people whose marriages were on the brink of divorce and because of alcohol in the marriage, and people whose lives were devastated because of alcohol, and then all of a sudden the grace of God comes into their life and they embrace the gospel teaching and they get saved and they start following Christ and they leave all those things behind them. You know, and they're moving on to victory and their lives are getting better and better and better. And all of a sudden this teaching comes around. Hey, you know who you are in Christ. It's okay to do all this stuff. See, they could not keep balance in their life. And so what happened was they started drinking and falling back into their old ways. And some of them are divorced today because they bought into some false teaching. They started hanging around the wrong people. Understand this, that anyone or anything that causes us to compromise our devotion and obedience to Jesus Christ is bad news, is what the scripture calls bad company. I don't care how big of a smile they have on their face. I don't care how articulate they are. If their influence in your life causes you to forsake the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to thumb your nose at the grace of God, and go in a direction that leads you into sin, that is bad company, that is corrupting good morals and godly thinking. We need to run far, far away from people like that. Understand, if we're not well studied in Scripture, we risk being easily deceived. Paul says in verse 34, yeah, Paul's not very subtle sometimes. For some have no knowledge of God, and I speak this to your shame. Some of the Corinthians were just flat out too busy or too lazy to devote themselves to learning the truth of God and how to walk out their Christian experience. And as a result, they were buying into the lies of the enemy, and their lies were digressing very, very quickly back into sin. Some Corinthians fell away from God because they remained ignorant of truth. I tell you, this is one more good reason to embrace church life, because there's safety among the brethren. There's greater safety within the community life of a church than there is doing it on your own. Some today will fall away from the faith because there's no growth in their knowledge of God. Paul says, Spirit explicitly says in later times, many will fall away from the faith. But understand that by keeping the right company, we can encourage and we can challenge one another in the faith. How many of you, that's a part of what church life is all about. Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. If we cease, guys, if we see one another starting to go in the wrong direction, we'd better speak up. Ladies, you do that for one another as well. You know, slap them silly or something. In love, of course. Iron sharpens iron. One man sharpens another. We need one another. We need to encourage one another. Because what might sound really good to me and might get me moving this direction, I need someone to come along and say, oh, hold on here just a second. You better rethink this. This looks good, but it ain't good. And we can help one another in this journey, this race that we're called to run. Evaluate the company that you keep. Evaluate the people who have influence in your life. Are they leading you toward Christ or leading you away from Christ? Fourth and final point. And staying the course. Never give up. Never give up. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, the Apostle Paul says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Tenacity is necessary on the part of every Christian, because deception is around every corner. Paul told the Corinthians to be three things. Not do three things, but be three things. He told the Corinthians, and he's telling us, to be steadfast. You know what steadfast means? To be fixed in direction. To be fixed in direction. Remember, Jesus set his face toward Jerusalem. He was not going to be distracted by all the noise around him. And when you and I are steadfast, that means we are fixed in one direction, and that is to be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we will not yield to any noise or any distraction that would take us in any other direction. That's what it means to be steadfast. Paul said, be immovable. Immovable means you're not subject to change. Now, by nature, we hate change, don't we? Don't we? But sometimes, not changing is good. Be immovable. In other words, we are not going to change what we believe. We're not going to compromise our faith because it's convenient or it's easier or anything else. We are immovable. This is what I believe, and I don't care what law the government passes. I don't care what slick teaching comes out. This is what the Word of God says, and I'm going to stay fixed on this, and this I will not move from this, period. It will be interesting if we ever reach, and I hope we never do, but if we ever reach that point where Christianity in America becomes illegal, that'll be the test. Are we going to remain immovable, uncompromising in our faith? I hope we don't see that. And the third thing Paul tells us to be, and that is active. He says, always, everybody say always, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord. And again, that's where we have the grace of a forgiven past and the promise of an incredible future. But it is when we are active and when we abound in the work of the Lord, that's when that future is realized. You know, if we get saved and our past is forgiven, but we don't abound, we just sit around and let everybody else do stuff, we're not going to have much abounding. There won't be I've noticed the happiest Christians are the most servant-hearted Christians. I've just noticed that. The way to stay healthy in your faith is to stay busy applying your faith by abounding in the work of the Lord. Healthiest and happy Christians are those who abound in service to God. And Paul goes on to say, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Serving God in any capacity is never in vain. Serving God now stores up treasures to be enjoyed for all of eternity. Jesus tells us in Matthew 6:20, he says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, or where thieves do not break in or steal. The world is really, really good. I went and saw Star Wars the other night. Yeah, it was all right. Not a big Star Wars fan, but that's just me. And boy, there's a lot of explosions in that movie. And there was drama, there's so much stuff. And that's how the world can appear to us. Relationship explosions here and a lot of action and activity. And so when you back away from that and you talk about being still and waiting on the Lord and laboring for Him, even if it's in obscurity, it seems so bland and so pale in comparison. Yeah, we want to be where the action is. We want to be where it's exciting. That's, you know, and when it comes to serving God, it might be not much of that. A lot of behind-the-scenes stuff. There is a celebrity who has fame, who has wealth, who has it all. This Christmas, very, very sad, had to get a court order to force their child to spend Christmas with them. And that, again, that woke me up to the reality that although they appear to have all the pizzazz and all the glamour of the world, yet there is the brokenness of their child not wanting to spend Christmas with them. And my heart goes out to them. But we can look at all everything the world offers and wow, that's really good, and be sucked into it. And there's many things for us to enjoy, but not at the expense of walking away from our faith. Am I making sense? There are times that laboring for the Lord may not seem all that exciting, all that happening. But I tell you what, there's an eternity awaiting us. That every single thing that we've done for the Lord is being written down and put into this heavenly bank account. Lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. How do we do that? By receiving the grace of a forgiven past and by committing ourselves to saying, God, what is it you want me to do with the rest of my life? And we do it to the very best of our ability. We don't get distracted by all the noise. We don't buy into all the clamor of the world. But we just methodically, consistently, faithfully, that we're steadfast, we're immovable, but we're also active in doing what God has called us to do. I serve an audience of one. You know, it's you know, someone might come and say, hey, that's a nice sermon, this or that. That's fine. I appreciate it. We all need encouragement. But let's keep our eyes fixed on Jesus Christ. And all that we do, be done for Him. There will be a day where He will say, well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. But don't be fooled. Don't be deceived. Don't think for one minute that because we made a decision for Jesus Christ 10 years ago and we've chosen to walk another path, one that totally abandons the truth of God, Paul himself made it very clear. By which you are saved if you hold fast the word which I preached to you. And when we choose to abandon the ways of God for the ways of the world, we need to understand how extraordinarily scary that should be. If you hold fast the word of truth. You know, when I prayed with my brother in the hospital just before he died, I told him, I said, David, I shared with him what it meant to be born again. I said, you can pray it with your lips, and it won't mean anything. But if you pray it with your heart, it will mean everything. God knows the heart. Because we made a decision 10 years ago, and we may have followed God for a season, but for some reason we decided to buy into what the world had to offer because it seemed so much more exciting and so much more pizzazz. And you've totally abandoned the truth of Scripture. You, my friend, would be in a very, very dangerous place. Not only in this life, but especially for all of eternity. Understand that we live in a world with many voices screaming for our attention, both good and bad. Knowing and obeying the truths of God's word will help us to stay the course. Paul gave us four principles to help us stay the course. Hold on to truth. Understand that God's word is truth. Knowing it protects us from going astray. Leave your past in the past. Invest in your future by letting go of the past and serving God in the present. Three is keep godly company, because bad company corrupts good morals. Good company sharpens and encourages and helps keep one another on track. And finally, never give up. Giving up is never an option. And there are days that all of us will feel like giving up. Because I tell you what, to walk out your faith is the courageous choice. It's a whole lot easier just to follow the ways of the world. It's a whole lot easier. It takes courage to walk out your faith. I'm not surprised that TV portrays Christians as wimpy and cowardly and mousy. They don't have a clue. Let's be people of courage. Let's walk out our faith, because giving up is not an option. And I tell you what, there will be a day that we will be glad. 1 Peter talks about having a living hope. And our hope is in what Christ did in his resurrection, and the fact that we will one day be raised from the dead and we'll spend forever with the Lord. And there's heavenly treasure awaiting us. But there's a life to be lived now. So let's live it to the best of our ability, to the glory of God. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this strong word from Paul to the Corinthians. Lord, he didn't mince words, because I didn't feel as though I should. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. Thank God for his grace. Amen. Let's face it, some of us were scoundrels. And I was chief among them before I got saved. But that's not who I am anymore. That's not who you are. Father, thank you that you for the plans and the purposes you have for us, not for calamity, but for welfare. That you have hope for us in the days ahead. That with you there is always hope, regardless of what's going on in our lives, regardless of the health battles that we have. We're never without hope, and for that we are eternally grateful. I want to ask you this morning two questions. One is, have you made a decision for Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Or have you been putting that off? Do you remember that time when you said, "Jesus, forgive me, I'm a sinner. Please come into my life. Be my Lord and Savior, I give it to you." If you've never done that, I'm going to ask you to do it in just a moment. But my second question is, for those of you who have made that decision once upon a time in your life, and for whatever reason, you've gotten sidetracked, and you have not held fast the Word of God, and for some reason you bought into this thinking that I can live any way I want and still go to heaven because years ago I accepted Jesus, even though I have totally abandoned his truth. That is deceitful thinking. I want to call you back to repentance this morning. I want to call you back to obedience to Jesus Christ. There is grace to be forgiven, but there is a responsibility on our part to hold fast the truths of his word and do our very best to walk in them. The question is, will you? Are you making a first-time decision? Or are you what the Bible refers to as a prodigal, someone who has strayed from a decision they made once upon a time? And do you want to return to Christ? Do you want to accept Christ? If you fall into either one of those categories, now our heads are bowed, I'm going to ask you to make a courageous decision. And that is to either give your life to Christ for the first time or recommit your life to Christ. If you want to make that decision, now understand, if you don't do it from the heart, it will mean nothing. But if you do it from the heart, it means everything. Then you need to understand that by God's grace, you'll be completely forgiven. But then you need to move forward, walking in obedience, serving God to the best of your ability. How many of you would say, "Pastor Joe, I want to receive Christ either for the first time, or Lord, I want to return to the Lord. I know that my life isn't the way it should be, and I want to return to him this morning with all of my heart." This is a sobering message, but it's a sobering topic. Just lift your hands high. Thank you. I want to wait just a moment. Just allow the Holy Spirit to touch our hearts. Because I want us to understand the magnitude of what I'm asking. I want to ask one more time. If you want to make a first-time decision, if you know that you have strayed from Christ and you want to return to him this morning, just slip up your hand. For those who raise your hand, go ahead and raise them again. I just want to give time for God to work in your hearts. Okay. Thank you. Let's pray together. For those who raise their hands, I want to lead you in a prayer. And pray with me. Father, I come to you this morning. I acknowledge my sin. I repent of that sin right now. By faith, I accept your forgiveness. I receive your grace for a forgiven past. I commit my life to you afresh and anew this morning. I pray that you would strengthen me for the journey. And I'll be sure to give you all the praise and the glory. By faith, I receive your forgiveness. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen.